The time is 6 o'clock and this is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Eugenia Sumedu City. In the headlines, police to hand over former Burkinabe presidential guard arrested in Upper West Region to Burkinabe security. Government and Labour meet again today on utility tariffs. Italian Prime Minister to visit Ghana next week, and trial of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo set to begin at International Criminal Court in The Hague. The police in the Upper West Region say they are unable to confirm whether or not a former Burkinabe presidential guard arrested at Golu in the Sisala West District of the region is a terrorist. A 40-year-old man, Zuri Brahma, was arrested by the police after residents alerted the police about his suspicious moves. The Upper West Regional Police Crime Officer, Superintendent Husseini Awinaba, told the media in Wa that investigations conducted on the suspect revealed that he has not committed any crime since he entered the country last Friday. Superintendent Awinaba said information from Burkina Faso security indicates that Mr. Brahma is being sought for and that when the necessary arrangements are made, he will be handed over to the Burkinabe security for further interrogation.
We have in our custody a 40-year-old Burkinabe by name Zure Brahma, and he was arrested on the 23rd of this month at Golu, and he was only seen loitering in town. And we didn't know his purpose there. So the police got him arrested for interrogation. When he was interrogated, he confirmed being an ex-member of the disbanded Burkina Faso Presidential Guard Unit. Now, as we are still cross-checking about his background, the Burkina police also came in to say that they were trailing him and they heard he has entered Ghana. So they were coming to collaborate with us to see how we can get him arrested. So based on that, we can confirm that he is an ex-member of the Burkina Faso Presidential Guard. But as to whether he was involved in the terrorist act there 2 weeks ago, we cannot say, except when the Burkina Faso police comes in and do their investigation. They can come up with that fact. He was in the country a day before he was arrested, so that was on Friday. He was arrested at Golu, a border town with the Burkina Faso.
Upper West Regional Crime Officer Superintendent Husseini Awinaba. A former executive secretary of the West African Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombande, says work by the eminent chiefs in bringing peace to Dagbon should be appreciated. He said peace building is a process and the role of the eminent chiefs will yield positive results. Mr. Bombande, however, cautioned the two royal gates to refrain from making comments that will raise tension in the area. He spoke to George Asikri on Behind the News.
The journey towards peace and reconciliation in Dagbon will be as difficult as the conflict in itself that brought these two great families, the Abudusi and the Andanis, to go their separate ways, not entirely, but at least at the level of a misunderstanding and disagreement about their own kingdom. And it is in this context that it is easy to look at the events that have just been happening with the statements alluded to the representatives of both royal families and appear to analyze that in the context of so much difficulty. The search for peace is one in which sometimes when you are making progress, you should also be prepared to understand that frustrations can create a sense of taking a step backwards. But that does not mean we have retrogressed. What it simply means is that we take into account the frustrations and the anxieties and rededicate ourselves to continue to support nature with the primary responsibility, obviously, by the two royal families and the support of the Committee of Eminent Kings and the rest of our great nation, Ghana.
Does that mean that the Committee of Eminent Chiefs and other stakeholders who are working at ensuring lasting peace are still on the ground working?
Now, if you look at the work of the Committee of Eminent Chiefs, do not forget that by 2006, they had brought a certain level of understanding and commitment from all the parties. And that commitment was developed into a roadmap that would then be implemented. The problem many people have is they simply understood the roadmap to mean or just simply implement them, forgetting that the issues at the core and what matters most is that the deep relationships that bring together the two royal families was truncated and, if you would call it, destroyed by the events of March 2002. And we must be patient and continue to appeal, that they should continue with that resolve, continue to appeal, continue to persuade, but knowing very well that at the end of the day, the responsibility rests with the Abudus and the Andamis to make sure that peace on the ground is real. A very important appeal should be that all of us appeal to the two royal families and opinion leaders to refrain from making statements that in the public action signifies increasing tension and anxiety.
That was the former executive secretary of the West African Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombandi. A meeting between government and organized labor to thrash out issues bordering on demands for reduction in water and electricity tariffs has again ended inconclusive. The closed-door meeting, which was held at the Flagstaff House, has been postponed to today. The government team was led by the Minister for Employment and Labor Relations, Haruna Idrisu, and organized labor by Kofi Asamoah. Mr. Idrisu said the meeting will continue and the percentage of reduction will be made known to labor. Last week, Thursday, government said it will grant a reduction in tariff to lifeline consumers, which consist of vulnerable persons at the bottom of the utility consumption ladder. The head of compensation at the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, Ahinakwa Kwashi, says labor is on course in getting government to reduce the utility tariffs. He said after government's announcement on the tariffs today, labor will also hold a meeting to consider it. Mr. Kwashi said throughout the negotiation, government has maintained that the energy sector levy cannot be reversed. He said if the government's reduction does not favor labor, it will advise itself appropriately. He spoke to George Asikri on Behind the News.
This meeting is one of the shortest in the series of the meetings that we have had so far. And as far as I'm concerned, it appears that we are making some progress, even though what we have done so far might not meet the expectations of everybody. However, this night or morning, government will officially table what they intend putting on the table for us to discuss. And once we have that, then the leadership of organized labor will meet around 11 o'clock to decide on the proposal from government. Then based on that, we will be in a better position to inform government about what we think about this proposal.
You are yet to examine what government will put on the table, and then you say in some progress. Progress here defined as what?
We have been very consistent as far as our position is concerned, and our position is that we don't want these increases to go beyond 50%. Then with regard to the energy sector levy, we have also stated that government should withdraw the act.
That was the head of compensation.
Both resulting in a partial system collapse.
A labor consultant, Augustine Gami, says a lot of patience and tolerance is needed by both labor and government. He said labor has exhibited a high level of maturity in this unrest, adding that with both sides showing openness, a resolution is in sight.
It requires a lot of patience and tolerance, because this is about Ghana and not about only organized labor or only government officials. It's about the state of Ghana. And fortunately, labor is exhibiting high level maturity. And once they continue along this line, I think that solution is almost in sight from what I know.
But sir, in your practice over the years, what happens in industrial relations when two parties all believe they have genuine concerns?
In the absence of sharing relevant information, which is the key to resolving matters of this nature, what will happen will be everybody will be fishing in his own territory. And that is the one that prolongs this kind of situation. But it does appear to me as if there is some high level of openness, of course, that's also contained in the Labour Act. So I think that with that openness and frankness at the meeting, they have narrowed their differences, especially because it's not oblivious of the fact that there are dire consequences of not reaching agreement in the best interest of the state. because they have job security issues inherent in the discussion going on for and on behalf of their own members. So they are overly cautious as well as they engage.
That was a labor consultant, Austin Game, talking to George Asikri. And now to some health issues. Deputy Director of Public Health of the Volta Regional Health Directorate, Dr. Yao Furi Eboa, says the region has recorded 7 suspected cases of meningitis. Speaking to the GNA, Dr. Furi Eboa said samples of all the cases have been sent to laboratory for investigations while the patients are receiving treatment at the health facilities in the region. Dr. Furi Eboa said the cases are from Sugakope, Keta, Ketu North, Krachi West and Nkwanta South. He said reports indicate that the results of the case from Sugakope is negative, adding that the region's surveillance system is working and there is no cause for alarm. He said the surveillance system is being strengthened to be more sensitive and called for public support. He said the region's public health management committee has begun a campaign on the disease to let people know of its symptoms and the need to practice good personal hygiene. The Volta Regional Public Health Surveillance Officer, Matthew Darafor, is therefore urging the public to send all sick persons to nearby health facilities for early detection and treatment. The northern part of Ghana is in the meningitis zone, but some districts and communities outside the zone have also reported cases in a recent outbreak. At least 32 people in the Bunuahafu, Ashanti and northern regions reportedly died, having suffered from pneumococcal meningitis. Until now, cerebrospinal meningitis was the only known meningitis variant in the country, and it occurs mainly in the northern parts of the country. And now to Parliament, where it has resumed sitting. It resumed sitting yesterday after the Christmas and New Year holidays. The first meeting is expected to handle a number of outstanding and new bills, papers, instruments, motions, statements, and questions. Key among these are the Immigration Service Bill 2015, the Right to Information Bill 2013, Plant Breeders Bill, Whistleblowers Amendment Bill 2015 and Presidential Transition Amendment Bill 2016. Welcoming the MPs, the Speaker Eduardo Ajahu announced that the Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi will be visiting Ghana and is expected to address the House next week. For the details, here's a report by our parliamentary correspondent Dominic Horoji and Augustus Akwey.
The lawmakers reconvene after the one-month holiday recess. In his welcome address, the Speaker, Edward Doajao, reminded the MPs of the need to improve upon their attendance in the House to enable them carry out their functions. He said, with 2016 being an election year, the time available is limited. The Speaker announced the commencement of the paperless system of conducting business on the floor. The MPs can now access the order papers, votes and proceedings, as well as other documents electronically on the floor using the legislative software on the electronic device provided during the refurbishment of the chamber. The Speaker entreated the leadership of the House to liaise with the MMDAs that have business before the House or intend bringing businesses before the House to attend upon the House on time to avoid delays. Mr. Doajao said the House will be receiving President John Dramani Mahama during this meeting to deliver the State of the Nation address. He also announced the visit of the Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi to the country.
That was a report by our parliamentary correspondent Dominic Lodge and Augustus Zakwe. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, and now the major stories. Police hand over former Burkinabe presidential guard arrested in Upper West Region to Burkinabe security. Government and Labour meets again today on utility tariffs. Italian Prime Minister to visit Ghana next week, and trial of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo set to begin at International Criminal Court in The Hague. Please stay with us. You're welcome back. And news just in indicate that former Burkinabe presidential guard Zure Brima, arrested by the police at Golu in the Upper West Region, has been handed over to the Burkinabe security. We have on the line Upper West Regional Crime Officer Superintendent Arina Aba to give us more. we are sorry we have lost Superintendent Arinaba. We'll be trying to re-establish contact very soon. And moving on, the immediate past director of state protocol, Kwame Tinkwine, has received letters of credence as Ghana's High Commissioner to Kenya. The ceremony, which took place at the Flagstaff House in Accra, was presided over by President John Mahama. The president urged Mr. Tinkwine to use his 40 years experience as a career diplomat to impact positively on bilateral relations between the two countries. Pascalina Dadibo with this report.
Ambassador Kwame Tinkwine has been in the diplomatic service for 40 years. Former President John Ejikum Kufo, in November 2008, appointed him as ambassador to Libya. In October 2009, the late Professor John Evans Atta Mills also appointed him as ambassador to Japan. Kwame Tinkwine held that position until February 2011, when he was recalled to become the Director of State Protocol, now being commissioned as High Commissioner to Nairobi, Kenya. President Mahama had little to say because of Mr. Tinkwine's vast experience as a diplomat. He asked him to ensure that Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta fulfills the invitation to be special guest at Ghana's independence celebration.
You're a seasoned diplomat, and so I don't need to send you off with any words of advice or counsel. But I think as soon as you get there, one of the first things you'll be working on is the visit of President Uhuru Kenyatta to Ghana.
Nigeria, but
you did it for the 6th March Independence Day anniversary. It's a reciprocal visit to what I paid to him in Kenya sometime early last year.
Ambassador Tinkwine said he is not complacent in spite of his experience. He hopes to promote Ghana well in Kenya to yield the needed benefits.
Luckily, I've had quite an experience about Kenya. I lived there, I went to school there a little. So it's a place that I know quite well. I have many friends there. And on our travels with His Excellency the President, we have gone to Kenya and in all other places. I know the kind of relationship that has developed between our president and the Kenyan president. So I believe that that's the ball at a certain level where it is ready to be hit. So I am going there conscious of the relationship that exists between Ghana, Kenya, and to work hard to improve upon that kind of relationship.
Ambassador Kwame Tinkwine is a trilingual who speaks fluent French, Russian, and Japanese. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo.
The administrator of Sulands last year collected 51,222,000 Ghana cedis to be distributed among the municipal, metropolitan and district assemblies, traditional authorities and Sulands across the country. More than 90% of the money has been so far distributed to beneficiaries, while the remaining 10% is pending as a result of litigation and other legal suits involving the traditional areas concerned. The administrator of Sulands, Mrs. Christy Bobobi, announced this at the launch of the 20th anniversary of the establishment of the Sulands Secretariat in Kumasi. Correspondents Thomas Nsunwe Jay and Gloria Kwachi have filed this report.
The theme for the program is 20 years of enhancing community development to improve the however asked the Sulands to account for the monies received on behalf of the people. They are also asked to actively involve the people in the planning, location and implementation of the project. Mrs. Bobobi said that NCETRA has so far opened 80 offices in 8 out of the 10 regions. Upper West and the Volta region are yet to have its share. Bank accounts have been opened for all the traditional councils as mandated by law for the monies to be paid into for the sake of accountability. The Deputy Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Obeminta Akando, assured the Sulands Secretariat early release of the funds. He said the ministry will continue to monitor the MMDAs to impress upon them to use the monies released to them judiciously. The Akando said the request by the traditional authorities to increase their share of Sulands from the current 10% to about 30% is being considered. The Office of the Administrator of Sulands was established 20 years ago to mobilize and disburse revenue from Sulands in the country. From Kumasi, Thomas Nsuaje reporting for Radio Ghana.
The Data Protection Commission, DPC, has rolled out a data protection mechanism to protect personal information and cybersecurity in and outside the country. This forms part of the Commission's strategy to protect the individual's right. This was announced by the CEO of the Data Protection Commission at a media briefing in Accra, a report by Peggy Amufasua.
The Data Protection Commission, DPC, is an independent statutory body instituted under the Data Protection Act 843. The law is to protect the privacy of individuals and personal data by regulating the processing of personal information. For the Commission to achieve this agenda, it has rolled out mechanisms for the citizens to assert their rights. The Chief Executive Director of the DPC, Teki Akwete Farkona, said privacy fortifies human dignity and guarantees other key values such as freedom of association and freedom of speech in society. This, she stressed, must be protected.
Peggy Amufasua reporting. And now back to our story, where the former Burkinabe Presidential Guard Zure Brahima, arrested by the police at Gulu in the Upper West region, has been handed over to the Burkinabe security. Now, we have re-established contact with the Upper West Regional Crime Officer Superintendent Awinipa to give us more. Good morning to you, Mr. Awinaba.
Good morning, madam.
Now, when was Zure handed over?
He was handed over yesterday.
And what was the reaction of the Burkinabe police?
Oh, they were happy because they have been collaborating with us since the Sunday. So they were happy that they finally got him back into their custody.
Okay, and is there any more information you would want the public to know concerning this issue?
No, there's no more information. The only thing we want to clarify is that the Burkina police have not indicated to us that he was a terrorist involved in the bombing of the hotel. They only said he was involved in some criminal activities in the country, and he was being pursued, and he just ran into Ghana. So we can now confirm that he is not a terrorist, as based on what he told us. But we can confirm that he was wanted in connection with other crimes that they were investigating. And according to them, there were three people they were pursuing.
To the leaders of both gates today.
And he was the only person who was able to run across the border into Ghana. And when we arrested him, not quite long, they also contacted us, and we confirmed that he was in our custody. And they came and took him back. So for now, we can confidently say that he didn't commit any crime in Ghana that we need to keep him to investigate. So since they needed him to investigate, if it comes out in their investigation that he was involved in the terrorist, after all, it was not committed in Ghana, and they need to investigate it. So for now, we didn't have any evidence of him being involved in any crime in Ghana, nor being involved in the bombing in the Burkina Faso hotel. If he was involved, then the Burkina Faso police would have to determine that since it's happened in their territory.
Okay. Can we then probably say that more of such people could be hiding in Ghana?
More of which people?
People like Brahima running away from the law.
Once a while it happens. And when it comes to their notice, we have this collaboration. When it comes to our notice and we are able to identify them, we assist them to arrest them. Just like when criminals also run from Ghana into Burkina Faso, we collaborate with them and get them arrested, and they send them back to Ghana for us to continue with our investigation.
Okay, so what are some of the steps you have taken to sort of protect our borders from such criminals?
That is why we're able to achieve this result. We collaborate very well with the local police along the border. Whenever there is an activity that we have to carry out to control this criminal activity, in the Upper West here, the most prevalent crime here is motor theft. And once in a while, they steal it and send it there, and we are able to collaborate with them and get the people arrested and bring them back. Just like when they steal from Burkina Faso and across into Ghana, we are able to collaborate, and if we are able to get the suspect, we get them arrested and we send them back to Burkina Faso for the law to take its course. So this thing has been going on for a long time.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much for talking to us, Mr. Awinaba. Is the Upper West Regional Crime Officer. And moving on, the Ekopom police in the Eastern Region have arrested a 29-year-old suspect, Anthony Kwame, for the murder of a 43-year-old hunter, Simon Gwemu, who was mistakenly shot as a wild pig. According to the police, the suspect accompanied the deceased to a hunting expedition in Asasi Kokoko Forest, but did not return. Police proceeded to Asasi Kokoko Village and arrested the suspect, Kwame Anthony, who initially denied committing the act. Upon further interrogation, he confessed to the police that he mistook him for a wild pig. ASP Nketi Ayebua disclosed that the suspect hurriedly dug a hole and secretly buried the victim. The police have retrieved two single-barrel guns and an empty shell, together with a quantity of live ammunition used for the hunting expedition. The body has since been deposited at the police hospital for autopsy. And in news elsewhere, the trial of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo is due to begin tomorrow at the International Criminal Court. Gbagbo is facing charges of crimes against humanity based on acts allegedly committed during post-election violence in Cote d'Ivoire in 2010 and 2011. Gbagbo supporters plan to closely follow the trial, which many of them perceive as an insult. In the hall of his party's new office in Abidjan, giant posters of Mr. Gbagbo are placed and on almost every wall. And police in Senegal have detained 900 people as part of the security operation following militant attacks in Burkina Faso and Mali. The detentions, which were not terror-related, took place in the capital Dakar and Fez. The assault on a hotel in Mali and a hotel and restaurant in Burkina Faso, claimed by militant Islamists, have raised security fears in the region. And now to end the news, the main points again. The police has handed over former Burkinabe Presidential Guard arrested in Upper West Region to Burkinabe security. Government and Labour are to meet again today on utility tax.
And there were no criminal offences.